And welcome back to our sports review of the year. We'll just dip in maybe to check to see how the football games are going cross channel. And we'll go back to our sports review of the year. As we know already, Leeds United beating Burnley by a goal to nil. Full points for Leeds. West Ham United and Brighton finished up all square 2-2. Sutek on 82 minutes getting an equaliser in that game for West Ham. And if you're a Liverpool fan, you will be happy. Sadio Mane on 12 minutes has used 1-0 up against West Bromwich Albion. And later on tonight, Wolverhampton Wanderers are playing at Tottenham Hotspur as well. Dermot will be watching that one very, very closely indeed. Okay, let's move on with our review of the year. And of course, it was disrupted, as we know, by COVID. Some events took place, managed to resume and then were cancelled again, then got finished, and some just events did not happen whatsoever. On the motorsport front, there was no Tarmac Championship, no National Championship, there was no Donegal Harvest Rally, and for the first time in quite a long time, there was no Donegal International Rally as well. June was a very, very funny month. Normally, there's the noise of cars around the northwest, and there's a huge bit of interest and activity. But Chris Ashmore, me and you normally be out rally weekend, going stage by stage and enjoying the thrill and the buzz of rallying, but it was badly missed, so it was.
Indeed, for all sorts of reasons, and of course from an economic point of view as well as the sporting point of view, it's such a big event, brings so much into the county. It just wasn't a normal summer without the Donegal International Rally. And, you know, I suppose it was strange. It all happened in a year that began with the Donegal Motor Club celebrating its 50th anniversary, and that was marked by an evening down at Logues of Cranford. The club formed back in 1970 in the old Milford Hotel. And I suppose you could say the rest is history, and it's gone on to promote some of the finest rallying events anywhere.
Yeah. Well, in February, Tyrone's Ryan Loughran and Donegal's Gareth Doherty as co-driver won the Mini Stages Rally after a great day of action in Termon. In early March, pre-lockdown, Donegal's Donna Kelly and his Monaghan co-driver Conor Foley in a VW Polo won the Mayo Rally, which was the opening round of the Tarmac National Rally Championship. But of course, after that, then the championship was pulled. There was a Donegal man who had done well that day too. It was Ryan Moore finishing third in the Escort with Gary Kiernan. Well, in the last weekend of November, Derry's Callum Devine picked up his first podium of the ERC. Devine and co-driver James Fulton took their Hyundai i20 home third in the Canaries Rally. Devine's car has been run by Letterkenny Rally Preparations Company PCRS under Philip Case and is backed by Motorsport Ireland, and it's been a strong finish to the championship for Derryman Devine and Fulton, who also finished fourth in the previous round in Hungary. In badminton, Rachel Dara enjoyed a successful weekend at the Portuguese Open in November, earning silver and bronze. The Rafo woman claimed bronze first in the singles event, where she was beaten 21-15, 21-14 by a Swiss opponent. After that singles loss, Rachel and her doubles partner Sarah Boyle were defeated in the doubles final by Scottish pairing Holly Newell and Laura Middleton on a scoreline of 22-20, 25-23. Back in February, Sam and Chloe McGee made history, winning their 12th Irish national title as a pair in the mixed doubles. The previous record stood since 1972. Chloe McGee has now won 26 national titles. Chloe added to her impressive national record with a win in the women's doubles with partner Sarah Boyle. Rafo's Josh McGee and partner Paul Reynolds claimed the men's doubles title. And of course, Sam and Chloe, Jeremy Doherty, are also hoping to make the Olympics in 2021.
Yeah, and a bit like Anne-Marie, they're still holding out for that Olympic dream, Oisin. And again, qualification all up in the air, taking part in various tournaments, but so many tournaments cancelled and so much uncertainty. They weren't allowed to train, obviously, and then they're classed as elite athletes, so they were allowed to go back earlier than other sports. But again, badminton, practically every other sport has suffered because of lockdown and because of the COVID-19 restrictions, and Chloe and Sam McGee at the centre of all that. Still not sure how things are going to go in 2021 and whether or not they will be at Tokyo.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Chloe can make it back to what will be another Olympic Games for her. Let's go to boxing. Chris, Brett McGinty's pro debut made it this month. A successful one too.
Yes, one of the most recent sporting events. And what a start for him. Brett McGinty recording his first professional win in his debut bout. That happened with the points victory over the Croatian Jan Arden. So the St. Johnstone native, a great start for him. It was held in Redditch. He won all but one round in the six-round bout. And it had been an eventful week for young McGinty, who, of course, had signed a deal with Mick Hennessy Promotions as well. And then there was, during the build-up to the fight, there was a bit of uncertainty as to who his opponent would be, his previous opponent pulling out of the bout, but he had already known the Croatian Jan Arden in advance, so that perhaps gave him some advantage there. But look, he's a young man to watch out for. He's had great success at underage level and, of course, at Commonwealth and European level as well. So Brett McGinty will be looking forward to 2021 and hopefully even more action.
Jason Quigley will be another man looking forward to 2021. He had just one fight this year where he beat Mexican Fernando Marin with a third round stoppage. That was at the Hangar in California in the early part of the year. It moved him to 18-1, and he was sort of looking to build momentum through the year, but he's still awaiting his next bout. COVID affected again, of course. He had been linked with fights against Canelo Alvarez, of all people, and a bout on Eddie Hearn's bill as well, but neither managed to come through. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Jason Quigley will be back in the ring early 2021. And Donegal's Matthew McCall and Brian McNamee won National University Championship titles. The pair were representing the LYIT. McCall won the 69kg category, whilst McNamee won the 75kg category. On to the UFC. Mixed martial arts. Joseph Duffy announced his retirement from the sport following his defeat at UFC 173. He was beaten by submission in the first round against Spain's Joel Alvarez. That defeat meant that the Burton Portman had lost his last three fights in the promotion. There was delight for a Donegal man, however, on the UFC promotions this year. Bunkranis John Hutchinson was in the corner of Russian fighter Peter Yan, who won the UFC badminton title after he defeated Jose Aldo by a TKO in the final round of their fight. The former professional boxer is the striking coach of Yan, who set a new UFC bantamweight record of 194 strikes landed in about. That is significant strikes landed in about. In basketball, the LYIT reached the National Cup semi-final. They were beaten 88 points to 80 by Ballincollig and Cork in what was the club's first ever National Cup semi-final. The LYIT led by 5 points at half-time in that one. LYIT Donegal players Dom Yule and Manny Payton were named in the Ireland's National League Men's Division 1 All-Star team for 2020. Chris, you'll take a look at the darts for us.
Well, the darts, and of course this is a time of year when many of us watch it on television. Donegal were crowned the All-Ireland Darts Champions for what was the 12th time in the early part of the year. They defeated Wexford in the final, which was down in Ennis, County Clare, 7-2 the victory there, and the Donegal team recording that success. Well, it was John Flood, Andy McLaughlin, Joe Flood, Sean Wilson, Adrian Devine, Reese Brennan, Ger McGlynn, Cartha Boyle, Charlie Grant, Michael Leach, Jordan Boyce, Clive Aiken and Noel O'Donnell, and certainly Donegal consistently being amongst one of the strongest counties at intercounty level in this country.
Okay, finally, in rugby, well, it's not finally for this section, in rugby, there wasn't much to report this year, but there was two ladies who were flying the Donegal flag with Ireland. Laura Feely and Larissa Muldoon featured for the Irish during the Six Nations campaign, but there was no title for them this year. Okay, we're going to go for a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be asking our guests their highlights, of course, for the year. That being Chris Ashmore and Dermot Doherty. And we're also going to be speaking to a man who has joined us over the last couple of months and ahead of the game, where we looked ahead the weekend's fixtures. But since it's the review of the year and we're knocking on the door of next year, we're going to ask him for his predictions for 2021. That, of course, is the man behind Boyle Sports, Mr. Leon Blanche, on the way after these.
Ahead of the game with Leon Blanche in association with Boyle Sports.
Okay, Mr. Leon Blanche, a very happy Christmas to you. How did you get over the festivities?
A very happy Christmas to you, Oisín, and everybody at Highland Radio. And here's hoping for a healthy, safe and prosperous 2021. It was a nice Christmas for myself. We were lucky enough. We've come over to Lanzarote, my wife and the two kids, the last couple of years, and we did the same again. And, you know, when you're away from home, you need to be able to go somewhere to try and watch all the sport, because it's a very busy time of year. I've never, ever thought I'd watch an All-Ireland final anywhere else but Croke Park in September. But this year we watched it in Lanzarote in December, yeah, in a little bar called O'Connell's Dugout here in Puerto del Carmen. Fantastic setup. It just and it's full of Irish people, Oisín. You know, I think a lot of people have come out here for the Christmas time, get away probably from the doom and gloom at home. And I think you always need somewhere good to be reliable in terms of watching GAA, watching football, watching horse racing. So, yeah, look, it's been nice. We're obviously coming back to the Republic tomorrow. We'll have to spend 2 weeks in quarantine. But it's been a great couple of weeks. And I think in terms of the two GAA finals, we did predict it. Limerick and Dublin, we said, would win. And I think nobody could really argue that much. They were worthy winners.
Yeah, I'm looking through the glass window here. We've got Chris Ashmore presenting, co-presenting the programme with us. He normally goes to Lanzarote in December for a marathon, and he didn't get this year. So he's feeling very jealous, so he is, Leon.
Well, I'll tell you what, look, it's 22 degrees outside of O'Connell's dugout right now in Lanzarote. And the sun is still shining. I'm sure it's pitch black at home in Donegal where you boys are.
Raining, hailstones, wind. We've got the whole lot. We've got all the bad weather here. But listen, so then a ticket Dublin winning the All-Ireland, given you're a dub, would be your highlight this year, would it?
Well, yeah, look, I mean, I think that was... I thought there was a lot less pressure this year on Dublin winning it than there was last year. Obviously, they were trying to create history doing the five in a row. But this year, they were never really in danger. I thought Mayo obviously played very well in that first half. But when they didn't take their chances, they were always going to be in trouble to a Dublin side that historically in the second half, especially that last 15 or 20 minutes, they just move on to a different level. And that was a great achievement. Liverpool winning their first Premier League in 30 years. You'd have to say that was an unbelievable feat in terms of having come so close with 97 points the year previous. I think winning the Champions League, obviously, that miraculous comeback against Barcelona when they were 3-0 down to win that semi-final second leg at home 4-0. I always thought they would win the Champions League, so I think they deserve a mention. Limerick as well. They probably should have won three All-Irelands in a row, bar not turning up in that first half against Kilkenny in the semi-final. They gave themselves a mountain to try and claw back. They nearly did it. But I think this Limerick side as well, they're young, they're hungry. They could go on for a number of years. In terms of horse racing, we were probably robbed in terms of Tiger Roll trying to win three Aintree Grand Nationals back-to-back. That little horse, he'd won two. He'd done remarkably well to do that. And obviously with COVID-19, there was no Aintree Grand National. So that was a little bit of a pity. Looking elsewhere, I think Dustin Johnson winning the Masters, I think that was a big achievement for him. He's such a spectacular golfer. He has it all. And I think winning the Masters could be, it could spell danger for the rest of the golfing fraternity for him come 2021. I think he's the one that they're all going to have to beat. DJ at Augusta was absolutely sublime from start to finish. He was the best golfer by an absolute country mile. So in terms of golfing, I think the rest of them need to be a little bit worried. From a rugby perspective, Ireland, they're just not as good as we would hope, I think. They were very disappointing against France. I think probably it needs a little bit of a rebuild. I think we need a couple of youngsters to come through. But overall, I think it's been a very, very good sporting 2020.
Okay, let's look ahead now to 2021 then. Already Dublin and Limerick are seen as the teams to beat in the Gaelic Games world, both football and hurling, and I suppose rightly so at this stage.
Yeah, look, Camille, I mean, like this Dublin team, I mean, there's been a lot of talk in relation to money in the capital, and we should split up Dublin into two, and then someone said we should split them up into four. I personally think most GAA counties get enough money to hire the right people. And I think this started back in 2011 under Pat Gilroy. He brought in a fitness coach, he brought in a dietitian, he brought in a stats coach. And I think every county in Ireland has enough money to hire the right people. It's run like a business. It's not about money.
We've lost our link to Lanzarote. We'll try and get Leon back again, unfortunately. The link has gone down, so we'll give him a call back to see if we can get Mr. Leon Blanche to join us again. As we said, he's in Lanzarote. He's coming home tomorrow. He's going to have to self-isolate and quarantine for 2 weeks, but he is enjoying the good weather. So he'll be back to us shortly. Jeremy Doherty and Chris Ashmore are still with me in studio. Chris?
Interesting when we have the likes of Leon Blanchard from Boyle Sports. I suppose, Oisin, the last few years between apps and so many things online, we're open to more sports than probably ever before. And, you know, I was just keeping an eye there on the Liverpool score in this afternoon's game in the Premiership. And one of the sites that I was looking at, it brings you scores from all over the world. So I can exclusively reveal here on Highland Radio that in the Democratic Republic of Congo League One, it's finished, believe it or not, Don Bosco 1, AC Rangers 2.
Oh, so. Very good. There you are. Modern technology, Chris. Eh? Leon, you're back.
I'm back, Oisin, yeah. I don't know what happened to the old computer gremlins or whatever happened.
I think somebody in Dublin heard you were in Lanzarote and they cut the line just.
Yeah, listen,
we were talking about Dublin and Limerick, and rightly so, yes, they are going to be favourites next year for the All-Ireland. Liverpool leading West Brom 1-0. The way the other teams around the top six in the Premier League have played against each other this last while, Liverpool odds-on favourites now at this stage to be crowned champions again. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, Liverpool, obviously, but they've a lot of injuries in terms of the likes of Van Dijk and Gomez are probably gone for the season. The Premier League is a little bit of a strange year this year in terms of Liverpool. Normally would have been a lot further clear, but they're still top of the table. They'll probably beat West Brom. And they're the one team that I suppose everybody has to beat. Look, I think going back to kind of Limerick in terms of the hurling championship, as I said already, Oisin, they probably should have won the last three, and they should be going for four in a row now. They should have beat Kilkenny in that semi-final, and I think the favourites, Dublin, Limerick and Liverpool, you'd be hard pressed to try and pick someone that's going to beat them. Certainly looking at 2021, I think if Liverpool had a full squad at the moment, I think the rest of the Premier League would be in big danger, because Klopp, whatever he's done, whatever players he's brought in, they seem to have performed very well for him. He hasn't spent an awful lot of money because he sells a lot of players. He brings a lot of money in. So favourites and people who like favourites and back favourites, it's been a good year in terms of football, hurling, GAA and in terms of the Premier League.
Yeah, what's the feeling on the ground about Celtic? Can they close this big gap on Rangers? Is there anybody at all confident in that?
I don't know, Oisin. I think, you know, obviously they're trying to win 10 in a row. It's never been done before. Unfortunately, I think they're probably just going to fall a little bit short. I think Rangers have been relentless. They lost a League Cup game, but in the Scottish Premier League, they've been remarkable. They've won every game. Another 1-0 victory against Hibernian yesterday. They're keeping clean sheets, and clean sheets win matches. Unfortunately, from my perspective, I'm a big Celtic fan, but I just don't see Celtic being able to catch Rangers at the moment. I think Rangers, they've played an awful lot more games, but they've got the points in the bag. And if you're Celtic and you're looking up at that table, even though you've got three or four matches in hand, you've got to win every single one of them. And every time you play one of those games in hand, the pressure becomes more, because you know if you slip up once, you're getting further away from Rangers. So unfortunately, from a Celtic perspective, I don't think they're going to win the league this year. I think Rangers are going to stop the 10 in a row.
Okay, just a couple of quickfire ones before we finish up, Leon. Can Rory McIlroy win this Masters? Can he trouble DJ?
The quick answer is yes, because he has the game. But as I said a little bit earlier on, Dustin Johnson is the favourite. He's 7-1 to win the Masters again in 2021. But Rory's second favourite, because everybody knows when Rory brings his A game, it's as good, if not better, than anyone else in the golfing world. But can he get over that kind of, I remember he was leading for 63 holes at the Masters. And then on that 10th hole, I hope I'm right in saying the 10th hole, but it just went all pear-shaped. I'd love to see him. He responded brilliantly this year to get himself back into contention and finish in the position he did. But I just think Dustin Johnson, because he's got his first green jacket, I think he's going to be very hungry for an awful lot more.
Potter's Corner won the virtual Grand National this year. Fingers crossed we're going to have a Grand National, so we are next year. They're actually going to have it at Aintree, on the grass, on the turf. They'll be running around the course, so they will. Who's the early pace setter now as we head into the start of the year, betting wise?
Yeah, look, to me, I mean, like, it's Tiger all again. Look, I know he was disappointing in the cross-country chase at Cheltenham, but knowing Gordon Elliott, what a genius he is. I've seen pictures of Tiger Roll and Keith Dunhill going out there on a hunt chase a couple of weeks ago. That's just to reignite his passion for the game. He's a very, very talented little horse. He's got a remarkable story, and I hope it happens. I'd love to see Tiger win three in a row. It's going to be more difficult because it didn't happen last April as it should have. He's a year older, and you know yourself, O'Sheen, when you get that year older, you start getting a few more aches and a few more pains all over your body, and horses are exactly the same as us. But I hope he does it. He's favoured. He's favoured for a reason. Last year when he won it for a second time, he won it a lot more impressively than he did first time out. So here's hoping Tiger Roll can do it once again. But there is a horse in there that I think could run a huge race. It's trained by Willie Mullins. He was a winner of a Boyle Sports Irish Grand National, Burrow Saint. If he gets to Aintree in one piece and he lines up, I think that horse could run a huge race. I think he's crying out for over 4 miles.
Yeah. As you get older and you get the aches and the pains, the cold weather doesn't help. You have to head away to the sun, so you do, Leon. Is that the reason you're out there?
Listen, that's exactly why we're here. Oh, Shane, it's a little bit of sun in December.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
What I mean? You can't beat it. Yeah. I hope it's not too cold back in Donegal, because I'll tell you what, as I said already, 21 degrees outside O'Connell's dugout in Lanzarote. Sure, where else would you be?
Well, listen, you enjoy it. Have a happy Christmas. Enjoy the rest of Christmas. Have a very happy New Year, Leon. And we'll be talking to you in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks for joining us.
Many happy returns, O'Sheen. All the best.
Ahead of the game with Leon Blanche in association with Boyle Sports.
Are you jealous, Chris?
I am, yeah.
He's enjoying the sun. We've got the cold weather and the hailstones. Jeremy Doherty, it's been a very, very strange 2020. We've managed to compile a review programme with the sport that did take place. But from your work point of view, and Chris, you can come in on this as well, what was it like being a sports reporter in the COVID year that it was?
Yeah, very strange, Oisin. Going to matches, first of all, took on it was a new challenge. As I said way back at the start of today's show, we were the lucky ones because we got to the games where supporters weren't allowed to attend in most cases. Going to the Harps, you know, you see the same faces at the matches, and you know, the usual suspects are there to support their team. But Friday nights at Finn Park became so different. Indeed, the matches were played on different nights of the week because of the way the season was structured. So it wasn't just Friday nights this season. You would go to a game, the first person you'd meet would be Charlie McHugh selling you the tickets for the halftime draw. This season, you were met by a COVID-19 official who was there to check your temperature and take your details. You had to book us into matches if we were covering them. You had to apply for press accreditation. That was never a problem at League of Ireland level over the years, but that all changed this year because the numbers were restricted to attending matches. And then even after games, getting interviews just wasn't the same anymore. You had to respect social distancing guidelines. The players themselves, you know, there was no showering facilities for them. They had dressing rooms, okay, but it was straight in and get back into the cars and away from the ground after games.
Yeah, we had to get our selfie sticks because after match interviews we had to keep 2 metres apart and we had to wear masks as well, which took a bit of time to get used to, Chris.
Yeah, just following on from what Dermot said, you know, it was strange being at matches with no crowd there. And in terms of the Harps games towards the end of the season, Finn Park would have been absolutely rocking because we'd some great matches, great quality football, and from a Harps point of view, some great results. And Dermot also touched on it in that key game against Waterford. There were a number of fans behind the River End goal who had literally watched it through the fence, and it was a great moment to see the players going over towards that corner at the end just to applaud them, because they had been able to hear maybe about 60 or 70 real diehards who'd stood out there for it. I suppose another thing that was very obvious was, you know, we had this online coverage, we'd streaming of matches, we'd more televised coverage of games. And it was great that so many people were still able to see games. And I think the sort of the whole pay-per-view in the counties that was done as well. It was a little bit of an experiment, but for the most part, it went very, very well. And, you know, what you wonder when we come out of this all, just how many things will change long term.
Yeah, the horizon now for media going forward is going to change, and the way sporting bodies are going to run their competitions are going to change all off the back of what happened this year, Dermot.
Yeah, the live streaming was something that was brought in right across all sports, Oisin, particularly in GAA and at club level. All of a sudden you had sports match day commentators appearing on the sides of pitches from Mallon down as far as Bundoran covering games, and that was fantastic to see, and great credit is due to those clubs who, you know, took on the challenge. It's not easy to do, Oisin. The wind could be blowing, the rain could be coming down on top of you, and you're there at the side of a pitch, and all you've got is your phone and camera, or whatever, and you're trying to commentate on a game live on social media. So perhaps those guys and girls know the challenge that we sometimes face at covering games, which sometimes, you know, it can't be easy.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we've lost quite a few characters this year as well. Dermot, a couple of big sporting men have left us, so they have.
Yeah, and we're always very careful, Oisin, when we do our sports review of the year to remember those that have gone to their eternal reward, and you don't want to leave any people out as well, because, you know, there's so many great people out there that would have been going to matches and you would have met them at games and, you know, sadly have passed away over the last 12 months. But it's worth remembering people like Hugo Duggan, the Milford man who enjoyed so much success on a national level, you know, long before my day, back in a different generation. But even after all these years, Oisin, the number of people who mentioned that Hugo was, you know, top of his game, top of his sporting level, and one of the best sports people ever to come out of Donegal, because he was a success in different sports, not just soccer, not just athletics as well, but he was into the fly fishing too. Yeah. Oisin, and I remember a couple of years ago meeting Hugo at a Donegal Sportstar Awards launch and chatting to him that day, and you know, I was talking to him about his career, and no, it wasn't on the record conversation. We were just having a chit chat over a cup of tea, and all he wanted to talk about was his fishing, which, you know, when you look back, that's quite remarkable, because obviously a very humble man, very well respected, and did so much for the sport, not only on a national level and at county level, but within his own local community, yeah, as well.
Likes of Michael Crossan passed this year as well. Chris Amano gave his life and soul to community games.
Absolutely, and so many people, maybe their first touch of sports at a competitive level, at that local community games level, going on from regional to county to national, etc. And he was involved in it for many years in various positions, and indeed, not surprisingly, he won a number of awards. He won a national award in 2015 and 16 for his coverage of community games in the local media, and he was also recognised by Letterkenny and Donegal County Councils getting civic reception. So that just showed, you know, the amount of effort, much of it unseen, that went on behind the scenes, and he really, you know, put in so much work, and it was of benefit to so many young people and putting them on the right path.
And John Foy of Finn Harps, of course, a man that was at every game at Finn Park, and a huge follower of Finn Harps, a man you would have met every game, every home game, Chairman.
Yeah, John was an amazing man. He had, you know, so much memorabilia gathered about the club over the years. He was a proud Finn Harps supporter, a former player with the club, a talented soccer player and a talented Gaelic player as well. Helped his home club, Sean McCool's, to a Donegal Senior Championship back in the 1970s. And all down through the years, even though he was he worked as a photographer, a sports photographer in the main for the Donegal People's Press and for the Donegal News, he was he was a talented sportsman himself as well. So it was almost like a busman's holiday for John, going to matches, because he had so much enthusiasm, and Finn Harps was such an important part of his life, and he'll be sadly missed, as will the likes of Frank Larkin, Seamus McKelvey. Rarely missed a match at Finn Park. Seamus rarely missed a match away from home too. Two big characters, along with John Foy, who are sadly no longer with us.
Yeah, and our very own P.O. McCann, one of our own family, passed away this year as well. Dermot, me and you've worked with P.O., of course, down through the years, because he played his part in making Sunday Sport so successful. He was the man that kept Miles Gallagher right on a Sunday. And P.O. was a country music legend, but he had a serious interest in sports, so he did.
Listen, Oisin, when you think about it, Highland Radio celebrating 30 years on the air in 2020, and you know the sports team here at Highland have been such an important part for people's lives up here. So you can imagine the part that Pio had in all of that. He was very much a behind-the-scenes man when it came to the Sunday sports team, but he loved it, Oisin. Yeah. He was passionate. I mean, he loved it when Charlie was out doing the games and Packy and Micheál McGee. Pio was here in studio along with Miles, and I mean, Donegal win meant the world to him, even though he was a Tyrone man. I think he was a big Manchester United supporter as well. He had a huge yeah. love of Gaelic games. He had so many close friends up here. Tom Comack as well spoke so well of Pio when Pio sadly left us a few months ago, and I mean, he's a big void, and we miss him so dearly. Yeah.
He used to say to me on a Saturday sporting minute, said to you too, don't give him the score of the match, because if Man United was playing in the early kickoff, he used to record it.
Yeah.
And would come in the studio and weren't allowed to tell him the score.
Yeah.
And they would drive home in the car with the radio off, so he wouldn't hear the score, hear the score, so he could watch the match. But we miss Peel. We miss the phone call on a Monday morning. He used to all the slagging and the banter about the Gaelic, the Donegal and Tyrone. And he was a larger than life character, so he was. Chris?
Yeah, and he'd know when you come into studio, even if there'd been an early kickoff, he'd have a close eye on that, and he was right up to date with it. Also, just to mention, ushering the sad passing during the year of Paul Feet Murren of Dunkaneely, very well known in GAA and soccer circles, from a well-known Killybegs family. He had many successes at various levels, not least with Dunkaneely Celtic. He ended up there as manager of the team for a while, and he'll be sadly missed also.
Okay, gentlemen, your highlight of the year 2020, Dermot?
At the end of a strange year, Oisin, it's hard to know what the highlights are. I really enjoyed covering the Donegal under-20s run to the Ulster final this year. Being at the games and seeing what it meant to the players involved, those young players. Hopefully some of them will move on and enjoy success with Declan Boner's senior squad in the not too distant future. Getting to cover matches, Oisin, it was genuinely great this year, because so many people lost out on that, not being able to attend games. I would say, from a personal view, that the highlight was, and it was a situation that Chris referred to a short time ago, when Harps beat Waterford to retain their Premiership crown. Declan Boyle and myself were live on air doing commentary. And I have to say, you know, I did almost get a wee bit emotional when I saw the players going down towards the supporters who had gathered outside the ground, outside the fencing, and the players got themselves together and went down and applauded. I couldn't actually see what was happening because from our commentary booth, I just couldn't see down into that corner, yeah. And we literally stuck the head out round the commentary booth and saw what was happening, and I thought it was a lovely touch, because, you know, it just showed that the players and the club mean so much to those supporters who were down there and went down to give them a round of applause. But in the other way around, you know, the supporters mean so much to those players as well, and the players really did appreciate the support that they were getting, even though there were no fans at the matches.
Yeah, well, I was just delighted to get back out watching games, Dermot, as you say, because for long periods this year, we didn't think there was going to be any sport. And following on from that, there was no crowds there. But to get the feedback and the reaction from the Highland Radio listeners, because we probably covered more live sport this year than we've done in recent years. We've done more live Fin Harps games because people weren't allowed in. Streaming's not for everybody. And to get the feedback off our coverage of the club championship, of the Donegal games, and obviously of all the Fin Harps matches as well. We tried our very best to bring the best quality production and broadcast that we could bring to the table for our listeners, and the likes of you and Chris are all a vital and key part of all that, Jeremy. So it was good to get back out and being able to bring games to the Highland Radio listeners. But for me, the standout, Chris will agree with me, the tug of war in February, I was blown away by it. So was Chris.
Yeah, I suppose I'd have three moments. The single moment highlight would be Adam Foley's goal for Fin Harps against Waterford. And, you know, you're normally meant to be fairly reserved in the press box. I let out quite a roar when that goal went in, and my Donegal Democrat colleague just metres away in full commentary with Declan Boyle. I don't know if, with the rest of the ground being quiet, whether my yelp came out. My highlight sympathy award goes to Dermot Doherty for that great commentary from Monday's field when, you know, I could just picture him there getting absolutely soaked, trying to keep an eye on the notes, and Gary McDay jumping around with excitement and nearly probably falling off the side of, I don't know if they were on a lorry or on a chair or whatever. It was tremendous stuff to listen to. And then the tug of war event was just something special, which will always live with me.
Okay, then. Finally and briefly, because we're running out of time, guys, what are we looking forward to now next year, Dermot?
Well, do you know what, Oisin? I mean, sport means so much to so many people here in the Northwest, and you can only have sympathy for the young people who didn't get playing in various competitions at different sports. I mean, we touched on basketball and golf and things like that. You know, there was no basketball this year at all. And you can only imagine what it was like for teams who play basketball, put in so much effort at training, and then all of a sudden basketball just comes to an end. So what I'm trying to say is hopefully those teams can get back in action next year, and the better players who may have been within a chance of getting a call up to a county team in 2020 and missed out because there was no action at underage level. You imagine what it was like for those, that hopefully their time will come in 2021.
Chris?
I think it's always a case of expect the unexpected, to quote that phrase. I mean, who would have thought Cavan and Tipperary would have done so well? And by the way, here's my outside value bet, Mickey Hart's Louth 1500-1 to win Sam.
They'll not be playing the Sam Maguire competition. They'll be in the Talton, so they won't.
Well, okay.
Don't waste your money.
Well, we got Donegal are 14-1 with Boyle Sports.
Yeah, okay. Well, what I'm looking forward to is two Donegal Senior County Championship finals in the 1 year, the 2020 and the 2021 final played. Kilcar or Niamh Connell actually have a chance of doing the double in the 1 year, which would be a rarity. So there you are. It could happen. But I loved the golf in 2018 and Ballyliffin, the Irish Open.
Yeah.
10 years ago, they held the Irish Senior Open, which was part of the European Seniors Tour. That's now rebranded as the Legends. Paul McGinley is bringing back the Irish Senior Open, which is now the Irish Legends, and it's coming to Rosapenna in August of next year. So we're going to have all the fanfare of the golf again. Fingers crossed, COVID-free, it's gone, it's done with, it's finished with come August, and we'll get to watch a bit of golf. Chris Ashmore, Dermot Doherty, as always, many thanks for coming in and joining us on our review, and many thanks for your hard efforts through the year as well, and keeping the Highland Radio Sports team at the top of the pile, as always.
Thanks, Oisin.
Thank you.
So there you go. That's it from the Sports Review programme for today. We will, of course, be back on air with our next bulletin on Tuesday morning. Until the next time, what's left of this weekend, this Christmas weekend, enjoy it and have a safe one. Talk to you again soon.